Can we talk about the promises of God tonight?
Amen.
Especially being a prayer service and listening to the requests that were just given. Can we talk about the promises of God tonight? Can we stand out of respect for the reading of God's word? Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. We'll use this verse really as a launching pad as we look and see and talk about God's promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. The word of God says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that through your word, we may know you. We thank you that through your word, Lord, we may know who you are, Lord, and what you will do through your promises. And Lord, I pray that as you've given me the word to speak tonight, Lord, I pray that you will help the word to be clearly communicated in the way you would have it communicated tonight. And Lord, I pray that you will open our ears. And I pray, Lord, that tonight we will leave encouraged, not because of some eloquently given message, Lord, but because of an awesome God that we serve. And Lord, I pray that you will be lifted up. And Lord, I pray that you will be given all the praise this evening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. I think we all know the quote from William Carey that says, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." The future is as bright as the promises of God. We've all had promises made to us. We've all made promises. We know that we've probably all made promises that we have not kept. We all have made had promises made to us that have not been kept. But when we think about what a promise is, I guess we should look at the definition, right? I like looking at the definition of words. But a promise is a declaration or an assurance that one will do a particular thing, or that a particular thing will happen. And I just want to say that tonight, if we wanted to, and if we could, if we looked at Scripture, we could be here for the rest of the week if we were going to cover God's promises to us in the Scriptures in depth. I want to give you assurance. I'm not going to do that. That's a promise, okay? I'm not going to, I'll keep that promise. If not, I think that I might not have a job when I was done. When we look at Scripture, there are many, many promises from God. And can we tonight, as we begin, really look at some of the provisions in God's word, that through his promises that we see. So number one, the provision of God's promises, the provision. See, the promises that God has provided us in his word, they cover every need that we will ever have.
Right.
They cover every situation that we will ever experience. Can we just ponder some of the promises that God has given to us in his word? You know that God has promised to never leave us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." God has promised. That is a promise from God that he will never leave us, no matter what. You know, that God has promised. And again, just being a night where we've gone to him in prayer, going to him in prayer would be nothing if we didn't have a promise from him that he would listen. See, God has promised in his word that he hears us. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
Amen.
We have a God who hears and answers prayer. Amen. In fact, the Bible says that when he answers, he so many times off, he answers exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And so many times through that prayer that we have another promise that God will provide the needs of his children. This one right now is special for me. Matthew chapter 6 verse 31 says, "Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall," not might, but "shall be added unto you." Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. "But my God shall." If you might remember, I don't remember if it was last Wednesday night or a couple Wednesday nights ago, but I was leading music, and we got to the song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And I cried. I wept. I broke down. Can I share the story? Why? See, a couple months ago, actually, 6 or 7 months, let me go back, we realized that two of the trusses in our under our kitchen, the floor trusses, or whatever they're called, the floor joists, I think that's what it's called. There we go. I'm getting head nods. Some of the floor joists were falling. If you don't know construction, you don't want those to fall. And so we got some advice, and we were able, to temporarily just support those with 2x4s and until we could get the situation resolved. And in the meantime, we were just living our lives and using our kitchen. And then we realized, the one problem was on this side of our kitchen. And then we looked on this side of our kitchen and realized that our stove and fridge and cabinets were a little lower than they used to be. See, we had a problem. Our kitchen floor was falling down. It wasn't something that could wait any longer. That's tough. 2 weeks ago, we had spent time planning. We knew it was coming. And so we spent time planning. And obviously, they were going to have to replace the entire floor, literally take it all out. And so you can't really stay there. Especially with a almost 2-year-old who runs everywhere. And so we couldn't really stay there. And so we had made arrangements to stay somewhere. And then those arrangements the day before the work began fell through. And so Thursday morning, we leave. Mark Heischman, who's doing the work, has done a great job. He's coming to our house. We come to the church. Kayla's working in the daycare. I'm working in my office. We don't have a place to stay that night. We didn't ask anyone. We talked and just asked for prayer. And within a couple hours, we get someone saying, "You can stay with us." God provided. We're just so thankful for that. But two, when we saw the problem with the one side of the kitchen, we began to be diligent, began to save the money. But then that was only going to be a little bit of money to really just reinforce a little bit of the floor. But when then you realize that the entire floor is coming down, that's a little bit more. And plain and simple, we didn't have it. We looked at different avenues of ways to get the money. And those avenues were not going to happen. Humanly speaking, we had no ability. But can we go back to this? And that's where I was last Wednesday, or Wednesday, whenever that was. We didn't know where we were going to get the money from. We didn't know what was going to happen with that. We had already given everything we had saved as the first payment to do it, and then if anything came up, we just didn't know what was going to happen to give the rest of the money when it was due. And as I was singing and leading that song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," I realized what God had promised. He had promised to provide the needs of his children. Let me just tell you this. If you get one thing out of the message tonight, it's this. A promise from God that he will is just as good as if he has already done it. A promise from God that he will is just as good as if he's already done it. Can I just tell you? Can I tell you one thing I'm not worried about now? How we're going to pay for it. You want to know why? Because God's provided. God has provided 100% the ability to pay for the restoration. I'm going to just put it that. The reconstruction of our kitchen floor. We serve a great God. Do you know that God has promised also in his word that God works all things together for our good and his glory? We all know the verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Can I give you my favorite promise from Scripture? My absolute favorite, the promise of salvation. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, we are all born sinners, but God has promised that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God has promised in Romans 10:13 that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can we praise the Lord for his promises? Listen, the last 2 weeks were difficult. I would love to say that the entire time I didn't worry. I didn't fret. But listen, there were times when the worry crept in. But each and every time, God reminded me about his promises. You know that promises are only as good as the person who is giving them. Promises are only as good as the person is giving them. That's what makes God's promises so special. You think about, again, the promise of salvation. The promise of a Savior was the most important promise that God had ever made to man, and he kept it. He has promised us salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, who kept his promise to die for us. See, if he kept his promise like these, we can believe that he will keep all other promises. See, the provision of his promises. Can we then look at the power of his promises? You know, I could promise Dan Utley right now that tomorrow I am going to go and buy you a brand new 2021 red Lamborghini. I am going to go, and I'm going to buy it, and it'll be in your driveway tomorrow night. How many of you think that there will be a brand new 2021 red Lamborghini in his driveway tomorrow night? I also have some land in Florida that I would like to sell you. You see, I can promise that all I want, but you know what I don't have? I don't have the power to keep that promise. I'll give one to you too, and to you, and to you. You get a car, and you get a car. I can do that all I want. But I don't have the power to keep that promise. There's right to doubt that promise if I gave it. But you see, God has the power to keep all of his promises. You see, we have no reason to doubt God's promises. See, why do we doubt God's ability? You know the reason? And the reason I was running into over the last couple weeks is I didn't want to give up control. We just want to stay in control. We don't like to let things go. That's just me. I have a problem with delegation, even in this sense. When I have a task that needs done, I trust myself. I trust myself to do it. I trust myself that I know that it'll be done right, or at least to the best of my ability. You're all looking at me and you're laughing like, listen, boy, that's all of us. There's so many times we don't want to let go. And the reason so many times, just in delegation, we don't want to let go is because we fear what other people might do with this. But can I just tell you, when it comes to your relationship with God, and when it comes to letting something go and giving it to God, listen, you are not capable. I am not capable, but God is. See, God is all-powerful. You go back and you look at the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We often talk about God speaking the world into existence. That really, you know, as far as beyond this is true, but he doesn't use a word here. Can we think about that? God thought space, time, and matter. He thought the universe into existence with a thought. If he can think the universe into existence with a thought, he can handle your problem. And he can keep his promise. Without one word, God created space, time, and matter. You think about that. Think about the power. Think about the power that the sun provides the earth every single day. And our sun is just one of 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Think about the power of all of those stars. The power of just our sun has enough to give my wife a sunburn literally just walking into Cedar Point. I feel so bad for her sometimes. But our galaxy has 100 billion stars. But let's not even think about this. Think about the entire universe. There's an estimated 10 to the 22nd power number of stars in our universe. That's a one with 22 zeros. And you know what God says about those? Genesis chapter 1, verse number 16. And God made two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And at the end, look at that. He made the stars also. Can I just say that? All the power that those stars combine? Yeah. Just put them out there. Is an afterthought to him in terms of power. Can I just say, when he created the stars, he didn't even get tired? Listen, that's the same God who has the power to keep every single one of his promises. God has the power to keep his promises, and And so we see the power of his promises, but can we also look at the permanence of his promises? Can I just say this, that I love my children. The last week, Charlie has been sick, and he finally just got better. Started getting better yesterday, and today really turned a corner, just acting like his old self. I got home for lunch, and he's just running around the Petrie's house like a chicken with his head chopped off, and laughing and giggling, and just back to his, I mean, be honest, it almost seems like he's more crazy. But you know, I was there for him every step of the way as much as I could. And can I just say this? I will be there. I promise that I will be there as much as I possibly can in, for everything that he will need. But can I say this? There will come a time when I can't be. There will come a time when I can't be there for my kids. Because Lord willing, they'll outlive me. And I'll no longer be there for their needs. But God is eternal. See, God is not like men. God is eternal. God is not like men who break their promises. God is not one who lies. Numbers chapter 23, verse 9 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? They won't listen. God is not like a man who would break their promises, but God, there will also never be a time when God will not be able to be there for you. Psalm 90, verse 2, it says, before the mountains were brought forth or everlasting, brought forth or ever, thou hast formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. He is eternal. He will also never change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God will never change, and that also means that his word, his promises, will never change either. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand until next week. Is that what it says? No. Shall stand forever. Listen. It says God cannot lie. He's eternal. He will never change, and therefore his word will never change. You know what that means? His promises are permanent. It means God will keep his promises. Therefore, Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We see the provision of God's promises, everything he has promised. Listen, he's promised so much. We see that he has the power to keep these promises, and that we know that these promises will never change. They are permanent. And so lastly, can we then look at the purpose? The purpose of his promises. When we look at Scripture, and we read God's word, and we read his promises, what we are learning about is his character. We're learning about who he is. God's promises teach us about his character. We know it is character, that he's faithful. He's not going to leave us. We know that he'll listen to us. He hears us. We know that he provides the needs of his children. We know that he works all things together for good. It teaches us about who he is. And again, since who he is doesn't change, we can rely on who he is to know that the future is just as bright as his promises. His promises teach us, the purpose is to teach us about his character, but also to give us direction. Do you know that he promises in Psalm 119, 105 that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? God promises direction. We simply have to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not under thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, some of these promises that God gives, they are conditional. I can look at my son and say, I will give you ice cream if you clean your room. This might be a little bit early, you know, later in life right now. Right now, I'm just like, I'm going to give you ice cream. But if he doesn't clean his room, is he going to get the ice cream? No. No. And listen, some of God's promises we see in Scripture are conditional. But when we meet that condition, God will keep exactly what he says. They're to give us direction, but they're also to increase our faith. God's promises are given to increase our faith. Listen, I will never forget standing here the other Wednesday and leading that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and just realizing, wow, I have a problem right now, but you know what? I serve a God who's going to provide. Listen, it was at that point, I just knew it. Not because of myself. Not because of myself at all, but because I serve a God who said he would. And that was just as good as if he had already done it. Can I just say, I actually haven't worried since then. Not because of I'm so great, I'm holier. No, because God just revealed it to me. He revealed himself to me. And all we have to do is trust in who he is. See, the more we read and study his word, the more aware we become of his ability and his promises. One lesson learned at the feet of God builds on another and another and another until we come to a point where we are talking through every decision we need to make with him. We also discover if we ask him to show us what we should do, that he actually does it. We see that he speaks to us through his word, and then when we meditate on scripture, we begin to internalize his truth in our hearts. From this point on, we express our needs, and God responds by giving insight and wisdom. He promises to move in certain ways, and he promises to provide the needs of his children. God's promises increase our faith. And lastly, they give us hope. You think about Abraham and the hope that God's promises gave to him. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 19 says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee.' So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end to all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." Do you know what an anchor does? You know what an anchor does? It keeps us from drifting away from the charted point that we're at, so we don't lose our way as we rest in the anchor. We have an anchor. It's God. I like to kind of think even about God's promises being the chain link to him that holds us secure, holds our faith and holds our hope secure. But very quickly as we close, I just want to say this. We have God's promises that we can rest in, that we can rely on, that we can have faith in, that we can have hope in. Do you know another promise that we have? We have another promise that God, that Christ, is going to come again. He's going to come again one day. 2 Peter chapter 3, I think verse number 8, the word of God says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Verse number 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things might be dissolved." No, sorry. Shall be. I need new glasses, I tell you. "Shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be?" In all holy conversation, in all your testimony and godliness. There's a promise there. And God is saying, because of this promise, what manner of person should you be? Christian, tonight, we've looked at God's promises. And so since we've looked at God's promises, what manner of person should you be? How should it affect what you do, the decisions you make, the direction you go? How should it affect that? Listen, the future is as bright as the promises of God. But you know, when I look at this promise, I hate to say it, but this is not a promise for all people. Because if you're lost, it's not a promise, it's a warning. God is warning you. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God is warning you that one day, everything around you is going to be gone. One day, each and every one of us will be in eternity. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but he's patient. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish." They're not willing that any should go to hell. Not willing that anyone should be separated from him. Because he loves every single person. Whoever has, whoever is, or whoever will live, he loves every single person. And he's waiting for you to come to him in repentance of faith. What does that mean? It means turning from your sin and agreeing with God about your sin, repenting of your sin and turning to God in belief that he is God and that he died, was buried, and rose again, and trusting him, trusting his payment for your sin. See, if you trust Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, that passage that we just talked about turns from a warning then to a promise. I pray that before everyone leaves tonight, that for everyone that will be a promise. Can we pray?